Is Scrooge beyond redemption? Is his path all set before him? Does he know the future? Is he a miserable old miser that nobody cares about? And do we want him to reap what he has sown, what we've known these last 4 weeks? Do we want him to go down that miserable path? Do we want him to die lonely and miserable without anybody at his funeral? Is it all set out for Tiny Tim? Does Tiny Tim suffer from his illness and just disappear from the family table where Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog are at? Is the future all set before us? Scrooge doesn't fit in the community. Everybody hates him. Both the rich hate him, his nephew who tried to invite him to his house. Both the poor hate him. He's the butt of all jokes around the town. Even those in the Cratchit home make fun of Scrooge. Nobody likes this guy. He is beyond redemption. What is the future for people like Scrooge? Can it be changed? Somebody respond. Can it be changed? Thank you. Jeez, I hope some. Thanks. Glad somebody agrees with me. It's not all rhetorical. There is a guy in the scripture who is just like Scrooge. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, which Tiny Tim read to you. By the way, he's probably going to take over this kind of place soon when this old man pops on, kind of thing. The scripture he read to you today is in Luke, and it's the story of the tax collector. If you've got your Bibles with you, open it. You might want to make notes in your Bible. If you've got it on your phone, open it and go to your app or just Google Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, where Jesus comes upon this guy, Zacchaeus. It says, Jesus enters Jericho and makes his way through the town. And there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Important to note is who this guy was. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. He was like the tax farmer, and he would pass out how much the taxes were to different people around the region. He was a hated man by the Jews because he unfairly taxed them what was due actually to Rome. He was making money off of his own people. And Rome hated Jews anyway, but even though they employed this Jew to collect their taxes. So not only was he hated by Jewish people, he was also hated by Rome. He was equally hated, and he was also small. He couldn't be seen. He was small in stature and small in the community. Nobody wanted to talk to him. Nobody wanted to invite him to what was going on, this Messiah coming into town. And definitely nobody invited around his house for tea. This man was almost like Scrooge. Scrooge, in the Dickens tale, walks through the streets, through his own town, and carolers stop singing and they put the cups behind their backs. He ignores those who are collecting for the poor, and he hates anybody who's celebrating this Christmas thing and causing too much frivolity around town instead of working. Zacchaeus hears the Messiah is coming, and he climbs up a sycamore tree. A sycamore tree because it's easy to climb. And he looks to see if this Messiah dude that everybody's talking about is actually going to redeem him like everybody's talking about. Is he redeemable? Does he fit into the unredeemable category that Scrooge is in? Let's see. When Jesus came to Jericho, through Jericho, it was 25 miles north of where he was going. He looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name, Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Jesus is basically saying, I see you. I see you for more than what you are known. I see your qualities you have. I see the fact that even though Rome hates you and Jews hate you and your name is a bad taste in people's house, you are the butt of everybody's jokes, even though that is happening, I see you. I see who you are, Zacchaeus. Come down. And it goes on to say, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down the tree. He quickly climbed down and went to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be with the guest of a notorious sinner, they said. They grumbled. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. I wonder what the future is for people like Scrooge and for people like Zacchaeus. Is it all just mapped out before them? Is Tiny Tim going to die regardless of what happens? Is Scrooge going to go down into his grave and fall down into his grave like depicted in the movies? Is Zacchaeus going to be treated like dirt for the rest of his life? He's a rich man, but he's treated like dirt for the rest of his life. Do we have any control over this kind of scenario? This is a debate that's happened for years. It's called predestination. Do we believe that people, no matter what they do in life, no matter who they call on, no matter what choices that they make, it's all set out before them? Or do we believe that we can actually be a part of the redemptive plan of God our Father? Of course, this is a debate for centuries. It's between Mr. Arminius and Mr. Calvin. Calvin said that it's all mapped out and there's people predestined for a great future and some perhaps not. Arminius believed that actually in some great mystery, God provides for us, God sets things up to us, and we get to take part in the redemptive plan of God. Of course, we believe, along with John Wesley, the Arminius point of view, that we actually get to take part in the redemptive plan of God. Amen? Any Calvinists out there? Just checking. We actually can help people like Zacchaeus. We actually believe that we can help Scrooge, even though sometimes we just wish they'd get their comeuppance. We just wish they'd, like, you know, have a little bit of, like, pain done to them just so they'll get it and figure it out. We actually become part of the joy that we are celebrating today. We do. We are God's agents. We're the kind of people that bring in the best Christmas future. Can Zacchaeus be redeemed? Can Scrooge McDuck be redeemed? Can people like Zacchaeus be redeemed? Of course, the answer is, the scripture goes on. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth. So Jesus has got to his house. He's standing at his house. He's in his home, in Zacchaeus' home. And everybody's running after him and saying, I mean, Jesus Christ, what are you doing? What are you inviting him into this guy's home for? They're running after him like a load of football players with a red card, you know, after him like a referee. Like, what are you doing? They get to his home. And what does Zacchaeus do? He says, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. When Zacchaeus got to his home and he's standing before royalty, when he's standing before Jesus the King, when he's standing before the one who's about to be resurrected, when he's standing before the one who was born in Bethlehem, what does he do? I mean, if I was Jesus, I'd have probably said something like, you sniveling little snot rag, give back all your money that you owe everybody. Don't be such a miser. Don't be such a mean-hearted, spirited man. You are cheating people out of their taxes. Well, he doesn't say that, does he? He just stands there. He just stands there, and immediately, because he's in the presence of royalty, there is a direct financial response to his redemption. He knows immediately, because he's in the presence of royalty, he's in the presence of the King, he's in the presence of Jesus, he says, I know what I must do. I know I have a shot at redemption here. I have an ability to be a part of the redemptive plan that you have given me. I can do something. I can have something, a new aspect of life. I can do something different. And Jesus responds. You can imagine everybody outside the house like, what are you doing? What are you doing in there? We don't like him. He's a grump. He steals our taxes. He steals our money. He's like destined for somewhere else. Jesus responds, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Everyone's outside like this. What? You're saying now he is a son of Abraham? He is one of us? He is just like Israel? He has been grafted into the tree? Nobody likes him. There is no way this man can be redeemed. There is no way that this man can know what it means to follow God. Scrooge. You've seen all the stories, right? You've seen the different renditions. He's like fallen into the grave. He's fallen in his room. He's wrapped up in his curtain, and he finally hits the floor. Bang! And he wakes up, and all the different renditions are like, oh, it's still Christmas morning. All three spirits came at night. Oh, I can't believe it. Well, I must do something. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as giddy as a schoolboy. And he runs around. He doesn't know what to do. He's just so excited. He's been given a new chance, a new opportunity. Zacchaeus sees the guy down the tree. He says, come down. And that word there that he says is zeteo. He says with great excitement. The Greek is zeteo, and it means excitement. It means a purpose. It means an intention. He runs down that tree. Scrooge wakes up. He wakes up and says, I've got to do something. I can be part of this redemption that I've received. I can do something at this Christmas time. It's Christmas morn. I'm going to make Christmas the best Christmas ever. I'm going to do something. What's the first thing he does? He goes to the carolers. He runs to the carolers and finally gives them money. He even joins them in singing. Then he gives to the guys who've been asking him for money all the time. And he gives them money. Then he goes to the Cratchit house and sees what he can do. I like the Disney one where he's like pretends to be Santa, you know, and he walks in and the little teddy falls out the Santa bag. He goes in to the Cratchit home and says, no matter what happens, no matter what the future holds, I can impact this life. Sometimes we get a glimpse of the future. Sometimes a doctor tells us that our relative, our friend, somebody who's been sick for a long time, only has a certain amount of months to live. Sometimes they say they predict in the future, this is how many months, this is how many years this person has. And we get a glimpse of what the future could look like. How many of us have come across those stories? How many of us have heard of people who have got so many months to live? A friend of mine at my previous church, Greg, was loved by all, and he was given 5 months to live. And everybody said, I can't believe it, because he had such a good attitude. No matter what was going on around him, he poured into people. He led people. He cared about students and people that were passionate about the gospel, and he just poured his life into them. People couldn't believe that he was dying. A friend of mine back in England, he was like in the magic groups, and he traveled all around the world. He was a sailor. He rode bikes. He was an amazing brain. He was diagnosed with a glioblastoma, and he was given 12 months to live. In that time, he changed the future of many different people. He poured into lives. He poured into my life and Julie's life, because both he and Greg believed that they can change the Christmas future. No matter what's going on, no matter whether people think the Tiny Tim's going to die, no matter what's going on in people's lives and they think you're just a miserable old miser, we believe that we can change the future, amen? Christmas future looks better than this one. Christmas future looks better because we decide to do something that would affect somebody else's life. Who is it in your life? Who is your Zacchaeus? Who is your Scrooge? Who is your Tiny Tim that you can pour your life into, especially as you have seen him or her grow up in life? How can we change Christmas future? How can we be the joy of Christmas to others around us? We look to a greater future when Christ will return. We know as Christians we have a great plan for our lives. But we're no longer bound by our past. We're celebrating the future. And we look forward to, we celebrate the present. And we look forward to the future when Christ comes again on the last day. That's who we are as Christ followers. But how do we change our future? We seek out Scrooges. We seek out Zacchaeuses. We seek out for people impossible situations that look like there is no way that we can impact. We change our Christmas future by serving God. We change our Christmas future by believing that no one is beyond redemption in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have called us to change our Christmas future. We don't believe that we're almighty powerful to do it, but we believe we can be a part of your redemptive plan when we do this, Lord. Guide us. Show us people like Zacchaeus. Show us people like Scrooge that we can give hope to. Show us, Lord God, how we can change our Christmas future so that you can be glorified. Guide us, lead us, especially as we celebrate the birth of your Son this Christmas. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.